Casey Bryant back on the Everett Silvertips Broadcast Network, presented by Sound Transit, here on Everett's Greatest Hits, KRKO, and on Victory Plus. And we are pleased to be joined here on the Silvertip Broadcast Network by the general manager of the organization, Mike Frazier. Mike, I understand that this was a very arduous week for you, as it was for every general manager around the league. I'll ask you right off the top here, what did you think the biggest concerns in your mind were heading into this trade deadline week? And how do you feel that you were able to address those concerns?
Yeah, I was certainly busy, and you know, there was a lot of calls and a lot of, you know, searches and video and texts and everything else around the league. And you know, I was certainly thankful to have our director of scouting, Brooks Christensen, with me to help with all that as well. But it, you know, I think, and most people would agree, going, you know, or coming down to the deadline, we certainly wanted to add a defenseman, at least one defenseman. And the one thing with adding a player like Vlusic is, you know, not only is he an effective, you know, a top four caliber D-man, and he's also has the opportunity to come back with us next year. And you know, as the old saying goes, sometimes you gotta give up something to get something. And you know, we had to move a couple of good players there that have a bit of history with us, but you know, we also knew that we wanted to be able to add a quality defenseman like Luke, and really in a year where there wasn't much of a market for defensemen, to be able to add him was a no-brainer for us. And you know, he's just nicely started with us, but has already fitted in really well. And it was nice to get that out of the way, you know, maybe a few days before the deadline. Just so we could move on. It was tough. You know, we've been looking for a defenseman for really a couple months, and there have been some conversations around the league at various points, but a lot of hesitation, it seemed like, for a lot of teams to make moves. And the more it went on, the more it seemed like everybody was just going to kind of wait until the last week to try and drive the prices up. And in the end, I think we're happy with how it turned out on our back end.
So much of that comes back to Kelowna being the Memorial Cup host team. You know, every deal that could potentially be made in November, December, I'm sure a lot of teams are, well, if we wait long enough, I'm sure the desperation will arise from the team that knows that they have to build amongst other teams. And I know that those negotiations can come down to the wire. I think back to last year with Zachary Schantz coming to Everett minutes before the deadline. This year, the Blazers beat the clock with a deal that reportedly was finalized with moments to spare. How close up to 5 p.m. Pacific were you working, and how legit were those talks as you're coming down to the wire?
Well, I'm not afraid to tell you that we had a deal that we were working on that basically came down to about 10 minutes before the deadline. And, you know, in the end, the player we were focused on, they didn't end up moving at all. The team that we were dealing with. So, and then that's how it works sometimes. You know, it's sometimes you can feel like you can put a lot of work into a trade and it doesn't work out for many different reasons. And that's just hockey, and that's just part of, you know, trade deadline time of year. So it's, you know, sometimes you can feel like there isn't a lot going on, but there's always guys calling, there's always agents, there's always, you know, other GMs texting. It's a busy week. Sometimes it can be frustrating, other times it can be fulfilling. So it's kind of the ups and downs of a season, and the ups and downs of a trade deadline can be very similar.
And again, hearkening back to our conversation this time last year, you know, because you talk about, you know, the ebbs and flows of these trade conversations, what gets floated, what doesn't. What people may not realize is just how much may have been out there and on the table, because this team was swinging. You explained last year, if I may quote you, you were unwilling to part with two first-round picks just to start a conversation, which at the time you were alluding to the Andrew Crystal mega deal that had just gone through. And you later said that you didn't want to put the organization in a 2-3-year hole, which was more than fair, given the team's core that you still have in place. A year later, with the core a year older, the road to rebuilding seemingly a lot different with the landscape for sure, would you say that your philosophy and the team's philosophy this deadline was the same as it was then?
I think that's pretty close to fair. I mean, you have to really be careful now, and a lot of GMs are saying the same thing, where it's, you know, you don't have your ghost rosters anymore for 2 and 3 years out, because you just never know, you know. And like, I'll fully admit to you, Casey, I don't have a ghost roster for any more than a year out anymore. It seems almost pointless, because there's just so many variables and uncertainty now that it's a little bit, you know, taking it year by year, maybe being able to look a year ahead a little bit, but even that doesn't have the full certainty like it used to. So I think it's, you know, that, you know, and we're talking obviously specifically maybe about the NCAA rule change, which, you know, we never even thought about 2 years ago. So it's, you know, that I think combined with, in my opinion, a trade market that's gotten a little bit out of control around the league, you know, makes it difficult. And I think with Everett specifically, you know, I really like our organization. I think we run a really good ship. I think that's started well before I arrived here. You know, I think we're, and this isn't meant to sound arrogant, I think we're a model of consistency around the league. And I think it's, I think it gets really dangerous because it's tougher for us sometimes to recoup some of these picks that are getting thrown around, because we want to try and be competitive every year. You know, some years are obviously going to go better than others, but it's just challenging to, you know, I know there are some teams out there, and I'm not faulting them at all, but they're willing to make those really big trades knowing full well that they might go through a couple years or even more of some really tough times. And I'm not really interested in doing that here. And I think I have the support from, you know, our organization of how I feel about that. And, you know, the one thing I've always looked at, especially in these last couple of years, trade deadline, like for me, the guys that have more value, like I said before, with Luzwick, like he's going to come back next year. You know, Cade Rudig very likely is going to be back next year. So, you know, I think we've made our defense really strong, a lot deeper. And when you look at the guys that can potentially come back, we're already set up to start the year next year quite nicely on the back end.
Talking here with Silvertips general manager Mike Frazier. And Mike, as you said, the team obviously has quite a bit of depth, and we'll talk about a little bit more what was added on the back end in a moment. I just want to touch one time on up front for a second, because there's an awful lot of forwards that are on the move this season, and heading down the stretch, you know, Ryland Gould is the forward that was added via trade this season, the only forward added via trade this season. I understand Kutz is likely untouchable given the rivalry, obviously. And in certain other cases, it's the Herb Brooks approach. It's looking for the right players, not just the best ones. So from your perspective, being so keyed in on defensemen, I'm sure part of that is so that you can move Nolan Chasko. What did you feel Everett's place was in the forward market this season as you were looking around?
I think the biggest thing with their forwards, and maybe something that people forget about when they look back at our season last season, is how young we were up front. You know, we relied on, and, you know, we talked, you and I, Casey, talked a lot about injuries, and that's a part of it too. And, mm-hmm. You know, we've certainly gone through our fair share of that really since COVID. But, you know, last year we were relying even on 16-year-old players and in a third line type of role for us fairly consistently, even into the playoffs, you know, when you're breaking down injuries and that type of thing. So my whole point is like, we had a lot of those guys returning this year, which we were all really excited about. You know, they're a year older, they're more experienced, they've gone through a couple tough playoff rounds, you know, against division rivals. And we really liked, in some ways we might have flip-flopped a little bit, where, you know, I think most people would agree last year we were real strong on our back end, deep and a little bit older, and our forward group was a little less experience. And now it's kind of, you know, the way it started this year, it almost flip-flopped. So now I think we have a little better balance with both our forwards and D, and obviously two very capable goaltenders. So we're a little bit older, I think we're a little more experienced, and I think we're a little more ready for, you know, a playoff push this year.
I'm sure that Shea Bush factors into that decision quite a bit as well. You touched on the injuries, and he's someone that was downgraded to month-to-month status last week heading into the new year. Shea Bush, I know, obviously is the big question mark for your group, especially given how explosive a start he got off to the season. What are the odds that we see Shea Bush before the end of the regular season as you guys prep for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're very good, and you're right, that did factor in as well. You know, he's still going to be a few weeks away yet, and you know, we thought we might have him back there just before, just after the Christmas break, and unfortunately, the injury wasn't healing quite as much as everybody hoped it would. So, you know, in a situation like that, you got to be careful and make sure you're taking care of the player first and the injury, and you know, in the end, we want him to be healthy and ready to go, you know, whenever it is he comes back and late in the regular season. And I think he'll have enough time to, you know, get his legs back and get, you know, get back to the swing of things before we start the playoffs.
Mike, before I let you go, let's touch on what the Silver Tips did get this trade deadline, because they did make a swing and they added two of the bigger defensive names on the market in Luke Vlusic and Cade Rudyk. And we've seen firsthand what Luke Vlusic can do, his mobility and his size. Steve Hamilton touched on his identity and his lockdown nature. Cade Rudyk, someone, though, is very interesting considering that we've only ever seen him opposite the Silver Tips, and he was obviously a key part of that Winterhawks team that went through the Silver Tips last year. So when you were touching in on Cade Rudyk and identifying his place in the defensive core, what do you think his biggest benefit is now that you toss him into that more experienced defensive core, as you mentioned?
Yeah, I think, you know, the experience, as you said, is really, really important. And also the fact that he's very familiar with how things work in the U.S. division. He's familiar with Everett. He's familiar with all the rivalries that the teams in our division have. And, you know, he's not only skilled, but he's also a gamer. Like, he plays the game hard, and he wants to be effective. He wants to be a factor in the game and competes. And, you know, when I talked to him the other day, he was real excited. You know, he made the comment to me that this is one of the places that he's always wanted to play. So he's motivated. He wants to be a factor, and he wants to contribute. And you know, the one thing when we got through the Vlusic trade and we're kind of trying to look at what's next, and probably a lot of the focus from the outside looking in might have been, well, they're probably looking at a four now. But you know, going back to your point earlier, like when Rudyk became a possibility, we realized that it would give us the opportunity to put Nolan Chasko back up front. And like, Nolan's been an unbelievable player for us this year. You know, he's played most of the season on the back end, converted back there and has done an unbelievable job there for us. But it was nice to also be able to tell him, like, hey, you're going back where you're supposed to be, and I know he's excited about that. And you know, in some ways indirectly, that makes us a little bit stronger too, getting the possibility of having him back up there. So you know, having those two D, I think in a year where there really wasn't much of a market for defensemen, I think we're good ads for us. And, you know, I think really is going to help push us here as we come down the, you know, into the second half and down the stretch.
Mike, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your candor. I really appreciate you joining me here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Casey.